And now it's time for your daily pet talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. It's Tuesday, and you know what that means. It's time for The Garden Line with Mayor Mike Wiggins. Great to see you, Mayor.
Good to see you. How are you? Love the music.
I know. Loving Spoonful.
Loving Spoonful.
I had that album, vinyl album, I should say.
Oh, clarify. Did you really?
Yes. That was one of my favorite songs. I haven't thought of that song in forever.
Well, it is.
Great choice on your part.
Well, it is almost summertime.
And it is hot in the city.
Hot in the city. You know, I do hope that everybody had a great Memorial Day.
Did you have a good, nice time?
It was very, very nice. The day was beautiful. And, you know, a lot of people look at Memorial Day as the first day of summer.
Right.
As per the Loving Spoonfuls.
Exactly.
Just a minute ago.
Yesterday
filled the bill.
Yes.
It really did. It was just a gorgeous day. It looks like it's not going to be that gorgeous the rest of the week.
I don't know. It kind of looks to me like
off and on rain.
You know how we get that summer pattern where you have those afternoon showers. But the funny thing, having worked on the beach for several years, I would see the clouds over Pensacola and it'd be sunny on the beach. It's like the beach has this protective cone around it.
It's so strange.
Exactly.
So I know people, you know, spend a lot of time Memorial Day with friends and family and going to the beach, riding their bike, maybe a little bit of yard work or just relaxing. But it really was a terrific day. But it needs to be said, Meg, that we all need to keep in mind that Memorial Day is a day we honor and remember those who, in the service to our country, have given the ultimate sacrifice.
No question about it.
It really is a special day, and I just hope everybody enjoyed it and celebrated and ready to move on to summer.
We're here, and I know for me, I'm old-fashioned, but I can now finally wear white pants.
Really?
Yeah, you never wear white after Labor Day.
Exactly. You know,
Memorial Day, you can wear white.
Exactly.
Now, by the way, I live in Florida, so that's not true. However, I did think of my mother yesterday.
But you're absolutely right. You know, I have some friends who have white shoes or a white belt. No. After Labor Day, put them up.
You have to. Yeah, isn't that funny? That's like an old, I don't know, that would be an old Southern thing. I don't know what that is, but it came to mind yesterday.
I don't know if that's old or new, but it's kind of silly.
Yeah, it is.
Exactly right. Yeah, as we move into summer, of course, there are things we've got to consider. And one, of course, we got to mow the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Mow it right. It's going to just kind of grow right before your eyes. And mow at least once a week. Don't cut off more than a third of a blade of grass. Don't mow it when it's wet. You know, all those rules that we have talked about on the Garden Line in the last month or so, be sure to follow all of those. All that weed killer you're ready to spray? No. Put it up.
Don't do it.
Put it on the shelf. Let's put that up. You get into 90 degrees, it can really do some damage. So what we need to do is just what we always say, cultivate that lawn, do everything right from the mowing to the watering, all of that, and hopefully that grass will move out the weeds, choke them out.
Well, that's great advice. This is The Garden Line with our expert. This is our expert panel. So if you have questions this morning, 850-437-1620. Mike is going to be here until 10 o'clock, so we've got some time to answer lots of questions. And I was in the garden section of one of our big box stores. You know?
What did you see?
Well, I started laughing because I got into the section with the potting soil, with this, without that, with the dee-doo-doo-doo and the da-da-da-da. And I was like, should I call Mike and ask him? I just want to get some potting soil for my little plant. Here.
There you go.
You could get lost.
What did you get?
I'm embarrassed to say. I just got some container potting soil. I figured I would ask you later because I have a patio
that needs to be. Yeah, I bet that's good.
Miracle-Gro.
Well, I've always said one way to judge the right potting soil sometimes is price.
True.
You know, you can get the 99-cent special and it's all mucky and just not what you want to use. But you know, if you spend a reasonable amount of money on a potting soil, you're probably going to be okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, next time I'm going to bring you to the store, and I think I want to do like potting soil fertilizer 101 class, and we just stand there, and you just go right down the aisle and explain to me, okay, this does this, this does this, this does this.
We can do that.
I think that'd be fun.
It'd be fun.
We do a live show.
We'll couple that with lunch.
There you go.
How's that?
We'll do a live show from the gardening aisle.
I like it. Absolutely. And as while you're walking through the big box store or your local garden center, where I hope you'll go, keep in mind that as we move into June, especially the latter part of June, we need to start talking about that midsummer kick, that midsummer fertilization for your lawn. And the reason I bring this up, because I'm really probably about three or four weeks ahead of time here, but if you are out there and you're starting to buy something, consider a few things. One, St. Augustine and zoysia grass like a midsummer fertilization. And if you have any fertilizer left over from the spring, that fertilizer will probably work fine.
So it's still good?
It's still good, as long as you haven't kept it out in the rain.
Is there an expiration date on those?
It's not, but you just let it sit for too long, it gets kind of hard and it gets lumpy, and you may need to buy good, fresh, granular fertilizer. But if you have some of that spring fertilizer and it's in good shape, you can go ahead and use that. And I would think about maybe end of June, 1st of July would be the best time to do it. But the reason I bring it up is that if you have centipede grass, it does not want that summer feed. No, just zoysia and St. Augustine. That's all. Centipede just doesn't need that fertilizer or desire that fertilizer in the midsummer. But what you can do, if that centipede grass is looking just a little, what's the word we used to use the old time, peaked? does that word make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, a little washed out.
Faded.
Yeah. A little application of a couple of things might help. One is a product called Ironite. Ironite is granular iron. That's a great thing to put on your centipede grass midsummer.
That sounds like something I'd like to take in the morning.
if
I'm feeling a little peaked.
Peaked.
A little Ironite in my coffee.
Funny word. Okay, another one you might consider using on that centipede midsummer is Mill Organite. Now, Mill Organite is an interesting product. I haven't seen it on the shelves. I haven't looked, quite frankly. I have St. Augustine grass. But Mill Organite is a product of the city of Milwaukee.
Really?
Sewage system.
Really?
Mill Organite. It has been around for decades and decades. It is a great organic midsummer application for centipede grass.
Hmm.
It's been used for years and all over the country.
Interesting.
So Mill, hence the Mill, M-I-L, is from the city of Milwaukee. Mill Organite. So those are the two things you can use. Now, there's a third thing you can also do with centipede grass. If it's looking pretty good, everything looks okay, good color to it, a little lighter green than St. Augustine, we all know that, you can do absolutely nothing. Some of the experts will tell you, centipede just needs to be left alone in the summer.
That's my kind of grass.
Exactly. Put that spring fertilizer on there. No weed and feed. Just put your spring fertilizer on a little later than some of us think. Sometimes late April, early May. Then let it go until the fall. And believe it or not, in August is when we start looking at winterizer fertilizer, which one would think is really early in the fall. But you need to put that on pretty soon. So just skip that midsummer with your centipede grass.
Okay, very interesting.
Very good.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, now's the time to text them in at 850-437-1620. We'll be right back. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and this is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. He is clearly our expert. So good morning, Mike. So glad you're here.
Morning, Meg. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
I got to take notes here. I got to get a notebook. I was telling Mike you really should write a book.
I don't know about that.
Wouldn't you buy his book?
No. I don't think anybody would buy my book. But
yes, I think you have so much knowledge and such a great background in this.
We just want our friends to listen to us on the Garden Line. That's all we're asking.
I'm sorry. I was looking at a text. Wait, say that again.
Say what? Okay.
Go ahead. No, the text is not relevant. It was from something else. I'm so sorry. That's why it threw me. I'm sorry. Cool. You can text in a question at 850-437-6220.
Bring it on. I'd love to hear from you. In the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the North Florida Annual Planting Guide, talking about all the annuals, or many of the annuals, that do well here. It's a list put out by IFAS.
It's a long list.
A long list. We only talked about half of them. There are 52 plants on the annual planting guide. And I think we've got the most important ones. And so we've already talked about that. But one thing we haven't talked about are the perennials that do so well in Pensacola. These are the plants, you know, annual is obviously a plant that lasts a year. It lasts a year. You plant it, you enjoy it for the summer or the fall, and then it goes away. Mm-hmm. That doesn't always hold true because you could have a mild winter, and some of these annuals will
snow.
Just keep on going. Snow. Exactly. So anyway, that was the annual list that we went through. Mm-hmm. We went all the way A to Z. We went from ageratum to vinca.
We sure did.
That's A to V, right?
And you know, you can always, if you ever miss a show and you hear that we talked about something last week, you can always go on our website at newsradio923.com, go to podcasts, go to Pensacola Expert Panel, or there's an actual section, The Garden Line. And every show that Mike has ever done with all the different hosts over the years, they're all there for you.
I didn't know it went back that far.
I think it's pretty far.
No kidding.
Yeah, wow. Absolutely. So if you miss the annuals one, right, you can always go back and find it.
There you go. Okay, so let's talk just a little bit about perennials.
Okay.
These are the plants that you enjoy for a season, and then they come back the next year and the next year. Some of them die back, some of them don't. So in any event, let's start with one of my favorites, and that's a Gerbera daisy.
Oh.
You ever planted a Gerbera daisy?
I haven't planted one, but I've seen them.
Well, they're very, very pretty. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm sure there are many varieties of Gerbera daisy. But in general, you can look at dwarf Gerbera daisies and tall Gerbera daisies. When I say tall, it's a long stalk with the bloom at the top. It's a great plant. It loves us here in Pensacola. But just one thing you've got to understand about Gerbera daisies. One, they will bloom in the spring and just be beautiful. Then they'll come back in the fall and bloom again.
Nice.
Then they'll stay there and come back spring, fall. That's one reason we really like the Gerbera daisies. But one thing that you have to watch out for, I think we've mentioned this before, but a Gerbera daisy has kind of a crown to it. And if you have that potting soil that you bought,
right,
and you put that potting soil kind of over the top of that crown, that will inhibit the blooming of the Gerbera daisy. So sometimes you just need to kind of get out there with your finger and move that dirt off the
Give it a little air.
Yeah, give it a, I like that. That's great. Give it a little air. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what you need to do. So Gerbera daisy, beautiful colors, vibrant colors, just a great plant that is a true perennial here in Pensacola. Okay, here's my favorite. I shouldn't say my favorite. One of my favorites because it's blooming right now.
Mm-hmm.
Agapanthus.
Ooh.
Agapanthus, once again, it's a beautiful bloom on a stalk.
Uh-huh.
Lily of the Nile is the other name for Agapanthus.
Oh, nice.
It is blooming all over town. It's mainly blue.
Okay. I know what you're talking about.
Yes. They're everywhere. They're just blooming right now. And it, of course, comes up, it blooms, and you just enjoy it for a long time. Then the bloom kind of goes away. And what you can do, once it goes away, you can cut that stalk off. Enjoy the plant because it's a beautiful green strap-like plant that is an addition to your landscape, even without the blooms. But then come the hard winter, the snow, if you will, and it'll just die back almost to the ground if you have a harsh winter. If not, it'll just keep on going. But if you have a harsh winter, it'll go to the ground. And you normally would say, it's gone. It's dead. It's not going to come back. But it does.
Huh.
It is one of those true perennials. That's why we enjoy it so much. That's the Agapanthus, lily of the Nile. All right, here's another one. Well, while we're on that one, how about amaryllis?
Oh, I like amaryllis.
Amaryllis are great, and they're blooming right now all over town also. Mm-hmm. Different colors. Our good friend Skip Vogel sang. Oh, remember Skip?
Yes, I do.
Skip with the Camellia Club, good friend of our show, good guy. He propagates these new varieties of amaryllis. Just beautiful plants.
Really? What colors?
Oh, you name it. Orangish, red,
ooh,
white, just beautiful colors. Of course, an amaryllis, a lot of people give them as Christmas gifts.
I know, yeah.
Because you'll put it, you know, in a window, a sunny mm-hmm. window at Christmas. It'll send up the stalk and send out that tulip-like bloom.
Mm-hmm.
Trumpet-like bloom, not tulip-like. Trumpet.
Trumpet-like, yes.
Trumpet-like
yes.
bloom.
We knew what you meant.
You knew what I meant. Maybe. In any event, then you can put it in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a kind of a neck on it, kind of a bulb with a neck, and you leave the neck out of the ground. And every year, it'll bloom, full sun, very little maintenance to it. A little fertilizer wouldn't hurt, but it's not necessary. It's going to bloom every year, which makes it a great perennial plant for Pensacola.
Just love great. It. Okay. Well, it's time to take a quick break. The time is flying by this morning.
Good.
And this is the Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins. We've got some texts rolling in, Mike, so we'll get to your Good. Questions in just a couple of minutes. We're going to take a quick break. And if you do have a question for Mike, 850-437-1620 on the Garden Line on Pep Talk. This is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Lots of texts scrolling in, so Mike, we're just going to run right through them. Here's one we were just talking a little bit about. After an amaryllis blooms, what do you do with that stalk that is on? Do you cut that whole stalk down, or you just leave it alone? Thank you.
Well, for a lot of bulbs that bloom, if you leave the stalk on there for a period of time,
mm-hmm.
that kind of feeds the bulb. But on the amaryllis, it wouldn't hurt at all to go ahead and cut it down. Now, cut it down to about almost the top of the bulb itself. Leave a little bit, and then it'll come right back.
Okay.
Next year, but to bloom. But if you leave it on there for a while, that is going to kind of feed the bulb, make the bulb healthier, and maybe even give you better blooms next year.
Okay. All right. Great question. Here's another question that came in. How should I prepare the hole for planting palms and other things in the sand?
Oh, that's, you know, we always say here in Pensacola, we don't have soil.
Mm-hmm.
We have sand.
Right.
Now, at the beach, that's different. But I always say organic material is very, very important. Now, I'm kind of part company with some of my expert friends on this. I think if you're planting a palm, or a sycamore tree, or a dogwood, whatever you're planting, whatever tree, or really whatever plant you're planting, you need to put some Canadian sphagnum peat moss in the hole with it. That adds organic material. That sphagnum peat moss will hold moisture,
mm-hmm.
especially in the short term, while that plant is going through any kind of shock that it might get because of its transplant. So I think if you do that, what we always used to say, if you've got a plant, you dig the hole, you've got the hole, fill about 3 or 4 shovelfuls of Canadian sphagnum peat moss,
mm-hmm.
put the sand back in the hole, mix it all up, then take out enough of the sand to put the plant, then plant at the exact same level that it is now. And that's what I would do. I think that organic material will help. Some people say don't. They say just plant directly in the sand. I don't agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I experimented one time with a ligustrum tree, not a ligustrum plant, about a 3-gallon plant. I did one with just sand, one with peat moss. The peat moss did better.
Okay.
That's just my little experiment.
No, that makes sense, though.
It does. So anyway, that's how I would do it.
Okay, very good. All right, well, we still have some questions rolling in, but we just ran out of time. It's already time to get ready for the news.
Oh, that's
so
true.
What we're going to do is take a quick break, listen to the news, find out what's happening, and then we'll come back. Plenty of time to get those questions in, 850-437-1620. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk, so don't go away. We will be back. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and it is the Garden Line on Tuesday with Mike Wiggins. We've got lots of texts coming in, and we've got a caller on the line, Jim from Cantonment. Good morning, Jim.
What do you say, Jim?
Can you hear us okay, buddy?
Hey, buddy. Yes, I can.
All right. Well, we've got, wait, I know you got a question.
I've got a question.
Go for it.
Yes.
Over the years, like 6 years ago, I planted four evergreens, and they look kind of, I don't know the proper name for them, but they kind of look like a large Christmas tree, and they line my driveway.
Probably a cypress, maybe.
And
a Leland cypress, maybe.
Yeah. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
Here about 3 weeks ago, one of the four, and now they were planted about 6 feet apart, and now they're touching, but one of the four had turned into looking like the Charlie Brown Christmas tree, just like it's smoked.
Right.
Foliage left on it. And I was kind of like, what is going on, you know? And this morning, I walk out, and I see, I own a dump truck business, and I see all these little cocoon-looking things on the tires of my dump truck.
Right.
And I was like, well, that's odd. So I get to looking, and I always thought they were seeds or something off of these trees.
No.
But then they started moving and wiggling.
Oh, gosh.
The trees, and they are wiggling and moving. And the little cocoons look like those potato chips called buglers. They're kind of shaped like that.
Yeah, well, let me tell you what, Jim. Let me tell you what. That of course, is a bagworm. Bagworms.
Yes, I found that out.
Let me be very scientific with you. Bagworms are gross. They really are.
Yes.
And very difficult to control. What if it, unless these trees you have, these evergreens, are so big, if you can just examine them, not every day, but when you can, and pick those bagworms off, just kind of pick them off if you can and throw them away.
Yeah,
but the one,
thousands and thousands.
Exactly. But the one that you've got,
there's thousands.
It's so hard to bring those evergreens that you've got back to good health.
One of them's gone.
I would consider taking that one, if it still has bagworms on it, out of there. Just get rid of it.
Oh, all of them do. There's a gazillion of them on all of them. Just that one has died. Others are starting to deteriorate rapidly.
Right. Well, let me give you one thought, one thing you might consider. And I'll be quite honest with you, I'm not totally sure it's going to be successful. But if you had to do one thing, I would go talk to Larry out of Pensacola Seed and Garden or the County Extension Service and tell them to give you the name of a good systemic insecticide. Now, a systemic insecticide is going to work through the plant's system and, in theory, get in that cocoon and kill the bagworm. I've never seen it work that successfully, but that's just about all you can do short of trying to pick them off. And as you said, if they're large evergreens and you've got a bunch of them, you've got hundreds and hundreds of these things. But
a week to get them all off of one.
Exactly. So, but, you know, you got to do something, or, you know, you might just have to give up on those evergreens. But you don't want to give up. Try a systemic insecticide.
Yeah.
It's not expensive. And kind of spray as best you can and see if that doesn't help you. That'd be my advice.
All right. Jim, thanks so much for checking
how
in with
about,
us.
How about permethrin?
No, I don't think that's going to help you. I don't think it's going to help you.
No.
You need a good systemic insecticide. Yeah, do some investigating. And my first call would be like to Beth Bowles at the Extension Service.
There you go.
Okay.
All right, Jim, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. Have a great day. This is The Garden Line with Pep Talk and Mike Wiggins. If you've got a question for him, text it on in at 850-437-1620. We still have some texts here that came in earlier if you want to take a look at those, Mike.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's see. We've got, did we do the agapanthus one yet? Let's see. What should I do to fertilize my agapanthus? Also, my tomatoes and cucumbers are needing fertilizer too. Sorry if I missed the info from earlier.
Well, any blooming plant or vegetable, in my opinion, needs a relatively low nitrogen fertilizer. Now, back in the day, let's do the vegetables first. people used a fertilizer called 4-12-12. Now, you remember our lawn fertilizer is like a 16-4-8, the secret being that the bigger number is the nitrogen. Well, your vegetables and your agapanthus like a lower nitrogen fertilizer. You might even try a rose fertilizer on your agapanthus. That probably has the right formula for blooming plants. So that's where I would go. There have been, in some garden centers over the years, a small bag of, quote, blooming plant fertilizer. That's what I would try to do.
Okay.
Exactly. I would avoid the high nitrogen fertilizers. Point is, don't take that same fertilizer you fertilize the lawn with to fertilize your agapanthus. Use something with a lower first number. I think that'll help you.
Okay, very good. Great questions coming in. 850-437-1620. Here's another one. It says, are there any, and any is capitalized, perennials that thrive in part or low sun that are flowering? There's a lot of shade in my front yard.
That's a great question because we all are looking for plants. I say we all, many of us, looking for plants that grow in the shade, and yet they bloom. And we've all gone to the annual route, planting impatiens, plants like that, because they're planting coleus. Those are great, but those are generally annuals. So what I would consider is caladiums. Now, caladiums, we were going to talk about that when we got into our perennial list. Caladiums, to me, historically have been an annual. You planted them, you enjoyed them, plant them in the shade. They do beautifully in the shade. Plant them in the shade, and then at the end of the summer, you dig them up, dig the bulb up. You plant a bulb, dig the bulb up, keep it dry over the winter, plant it again in the spring, and it comes up again. So that's not a true perennial, but yet, in the last 2 years, I have planted some caladiums in a very small bed. I've only planted about, maybe 10 caladium bulbs. Came up beautifully 2 years ago. Every winter, they die down, and I'm ready to order some more.
Mm-hmm.
But then they peak through again.
Huh.
And this year, that bed is full of caladiums that I did not dig up and dry out and all of that. So whatever weather we're dealing with tends to make those caladiums a perennial. Now, whether that's going to be forever, I don't know. But it certainly has worked for me in the last couple of years, planting caladiums in the shade and having them come back.
And is that with a K, caladiums?
C.
C, caladiums. C. Gotcha. C. What are the colors on that?
Oh, you ask. Pink.
Pink, okay.
Red, white. And I've got names here. When we go to the perennial list, I've got names that you can match up with those colors.
Okay.
Because what you need, if you want to know the colors, go to Caladiums Florida. Not Florida Caladiums, Caladiums Florida. It's a company down in Lake Placid, down in South Florida, that grows the best caladium bulbs in the world. And their website has got every caladium, every color, and it tells you exactly what you want.
Wow. Okay. You heard it right here on the Garden Line from Mike Wiggins. We're going to have to take a quick break. It's Pep Talk, Garden Line. If you got a question, 850-437-1620. We'll be right back. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk and the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. And we had a question that came in, 850-437-1620. Can't figure out what is happening with my verbena. They look good one day, and then I've sprayed them with neem oil, but not sure what to do. I have several of these. And then the person also says, I purchased more this year because the ones I had from last year that I didn't bring in or do anything with from the snow came back.
Yeah.
And since she sent some, he or she sent some pictures too.
Yeah, the verbena is one of the plants listed on the state annual list.
Okay.
Insofar as it should be treated as an annual. But it's like a dianthus, which looks very, very similar to the verbena. Insofar as you plant it in the spring, you love it, beautiful blooms. It does great. But then it goes through the fall. Like, and sometimes considering the weather we have in Pensacola, sometimes the verbena or the dianthus, some of those plants like that, which are on the annual list, will perennialize, for lack of a better word.
And
come back. Now, spraying with neem oil is interesting. Neem oil is a organic insect control.
Oh, okay.
You know where it comes from?
No.
The neem tree.
Huh.
Yeah, and I think it's, I want to say it's started in India.
I was going to say, is that indigenous to here or no?
No. The neem tree. But it is one of the, I say newer, probably in the last 20 years, products used to keep, spray for insects and trying to keep it organic. A good choice. But if the verbena, you have bought it this year and it's not doing well at all, it could have dried out, you know, before you bought it.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a root problem. I'd start over.
Oh, okay.
You know, if it's this year's plant that's not looking good, you may have to replant.
Okay. It looks like a couple had a little blooms in the picture.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It had a few little blooms, but it looked a little rough. So mm-hmm. That's what I would do.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sending in that question.
That's a great question.
Hope the information was helpful. Got another question for you, Mike. When should I prune back my azalea bushes? They are taking over part of my driveway and crossing the property line.
Well, if I would do it this afternoon. I think that'd be a great time to do it. You got to remember now, azaleas, they bloomed. As soon as they finish blooming is when we recommend pruning them.
Oh,
so right
okay.
Now is the time, because you get into midsummer, mm-hmm. and let's face it, that's getting pretty close into July. It sets its buds for next year, for 2026.
Really?
Yes. So you need to prune them, at least, in my opinion, within the next 30 days. And after that, you could still prune them,
mm-hmm.
and they will still look good, and they will come back, but you might be, what you cut off may have blooms that have already been set if you wait too late.
That makes sense. Okay, yeah. Very good question. All right, got another one for you, sir. You're very popular this Tuesday morning.
Goodness.
Okay, do you know anything about tropical plants? I have a black blank canvas of a yard and want a tropical theme. Any suggestions?
Yeah, that's a tough one because, you know, obviously a tropical generally is not going to make it through a cold winter.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, and there's a house I saw, where was that house? Over in East Hill, planted a lot of large leaf philodendrons.
Oh, pretty.
In their yard.
That's pretty.
They look good.
Mm-hmm.
Elephant ears.
Yes.
Will give you a tropical look. And as a matter of fact, we're going to talk about those probably in the next show. We don't have time today. But think about some of the upright growing elephant ears as opposed to the traditional type that sort of droop over a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They are great. And I hate to be personal here, but I planted some of the best elephant ears I ever planted. They die back.
Mm-hmm.
They'll die back in the winter, but then they will always come back. But that philodendron is another choice that you may want to look at.
Oh, very good. Okay, yeah. That's a great question.
Right. Oh, yes.
So anything flowering that would go into that mix too?
Well, you might want to stick into your annuals,
mm-hmm.
to add that color. You just might want to do that. That's what I would consider. I can't off the top of my head think of a tropical look that's going to give you a lot of blooms.
Well, I might I
will say this. Hibiscus, mandevilla, all of those
mm-hmm.
are great tropical plants, which are going to give you color. But your chance of those surviving a cold Pensacola winter are relatively slim. I have tried over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can do, like a hibiscus, it will die back, and you can always cut it back and kind of cross your fingers that it's going to come back.
Right.
But generally, you may need to replace those every year, which is not a bad thing to do because they are just absolutely gorgeous.
I had a neighbor whose yard was very tropical looking, so
right.
They did the same thing, the elephant ears, hibiscus. Also had some citrus trees.
that's not a bad choice at all.
And it looked really cool because when they would start to, when you see the oranges and the lemons, and it was really neat because it really looked very Florida-ish.
Exactly. No doubt. No doubt. Very Florida.
Very Florida-esque.
Absolutely.
Okay. Great question. We're going to take another break here. And we're talking with Mike Wiggins and the Garden Line, getting lots of great questions this morning. It's still time if you've got one, 850-437-1620. We'll be back in a minute. And we're back with Pep Talk in the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Just a few minutes left. You had some more ideas for the tropical landscaping.
At my age, it takes a minute to kind of think through some of these things.
Me too.
So in any event, three suggestions.
Okay.
To add to what we talked about on the tropical look. What's the blank palette we've got here to do it. Okay. One, I like variegated ginger.
Ooh.
Variegated ginger is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And to me, it has a little tropical look to it. So I would consider that. Another one that I've seen planted in that type of environment is the tractor plant.
Oh, what is that?
That's a leopard plant is what the name of it is.
Oh, well,
some people call it a tractor plant because the foliage looks like a seat on a tractor. But in the fall, it sends up beautiful yellow flowers.
Oh.
But it looks very, very tropical.
Mm-hmm.
And also what you might, and this is kind of a reach, plant a banana plant or two.
Oh.
Don't forget, it'll probably die back in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Cut it back. It'll come back strong. And it has that tropical look to it. So the variegated ginger and the leopard plant, tractor plant, if you will, and the banana plant might be something if you're going to look for a tropical look. And don't forget the palms.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't forget your palms. That's a whole other topic. But, yes, you need to accent some of those lower plants. Some taller palms.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right.
I think it sounds gorgeous.
Oh, it does sound
sounds
good.
Really great.
Exactly. It's really funny. When we used to talk about landscaping, and people would say, I want a pure tropical look in my front yard.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd say, before you decide on that, look around your neighborhood
mm-hmm.
and see if that tropical look is going to fit in your neighborhood. And the reply I usually got was, I don't care.
Oh.
I want the tropical look. I said, well, I love that, so go for it.
Okay.
Go for it, absolutely.
All right, so you probably need some palms, you said, and you could do a whole show on that one?
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
No question about it. And there's some that do better than others, but they really, really are pretty. I love the windmill palms. I've got a couple of them in my yard, and they do give it a tropical look. There's no doubt about it. That coupled with... The crepe myrtles and things that are blooming in the summer really look good.
All right, we only have a little bit of time. We've got one more question. We'll try to squeeze in here. I've had a lime tree in my yard for about 6 years. It's quite tall. However, it has never produced fruit. Someone told me that I have to have the two of them in order for them to have two of them in order for them to bear fruit. Is that true?
I'm not so sure that's true for that type of tree. I don't think so. Need to be very careful that this is the tree, what you're seeing is not coming below the graft, coming up from below the graft, which is not going to produce. We can talk more about that next week.
All right, we'll try to put that on our list for the open next week.
That's a good question.
All right, thanks everybody who texted in, and thanks to all of you for listening. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. It's here every Tuesday morning from 9 to 10, and you can find it on newsradio923.com on our website.